big IPO news in Asia. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. The biggest IPO of the year probably won't be Uber or Lyft or really any tech darling. AB InBev, the maker of Budweiser, is looking to raise nearly $10 billion for its Asian subsidiary, the biggest ever listing for a food and drink company. My marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, has been looking into this. Good morning.
Good morning.
AB InBev is already traded on the New York Stock Exchange, so why have an IPO for the subsidiary?
Well, the company's CEO says this is all about expansion. Now, the company's already done this before in Latin America. Over the last two decades, it's used its Brazilian subsidiary, AmBev, to help convince beer owners there to sell to AB InBev. So essentially, it all comes down to making companies more comfortable doing business. They're more likely to engage if they're being paid in shares of a local entity rather than a global one.
That makes sense. So why is Asia in particular so important to InBev?
Revenue in the region rose more than 6% last year, but data from Euromonitor that the Wall Street Journal cites actually show competition has been really fierce because consumers are broadening their alcoholic beverage consumption beyond beer. So if we zero in on China, one of AB InBev's biggest markets, Euromonitor is forecasting that the country will surpass the U.S. as the world's biggest beer market by sales volume in 2021.
The BBC's Victoria Craig, thank you.
Thank you.
Market analysts are already looking ahead to jobs numbers coming out at the end of the week. When investors expect a certain thing will happen in the future, like a particular jobs number, they buy and sell stocks and bonds with that in mind. We like to say that means the prediction is priced in. Karen Cavanaugh, a market strategist at Voya Investment Management, has some thoughts on this. Good morning.
Good morning.
We talk a lot about things being already priced into the markets. What's priced in right now?
We expect that the jobs market will rebound after a little bit of a low jobs added last month. I think we'll see a rebound on that. Even though there is some global weakness, generally, the U.S. economy is doing better than the rest of the world, and that's giving investors some comfort. We still see consumer confidence is strong, and we still see a lot of consumer spending. And additionally, we have a Fed that is going to continue to be accommodative. So overall, that is generally priced in, but I still think that if we see some positive surprises with earnings, we'll see the market move ahead.
Karen Cavanaugh is a market strategist at Voya Investment Management. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Microsoft users probably didn't price in this news when they bought ebooks from the company. The Microsoft Store will stop selling ebooks this month and delete everyone's library. Users can get a refund, but they'll have to do their binge reading elsewhere. Several members of Congress were at the U.S.-Mexico border on Monday, visiting Border Patrol stations in El Paso and Clint, Texas. Many have condemned the conditions in Border Patrol stations and immigrant detention centers, especially those where children are being held. There are reports of unsanitary conditions and limited food, overcrowding, and a lack of access to legal representation. One of the groups attempting to provide that representation is the Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services, or RAICES. The Texas nonprofit offers free services to people seeking asylum and works with hundreds of clients a month, sometimes more. Manoj Govindaya is their director of legal services. Good morning.
Good morning.
So when you first meet with a client in detention who, say, seeking asylum, what's the first thing you do?
So typically the first thing that we would need to do is go to the detention center and visit them. We would want to assess exactly what happened, how they entered, why they fled their country, how they're being treated in detention. We would see if they qualify for any other type of immigration relief, and we would assess the strength of their asylum claim. We may also need to talk to family members to corroborate or do some independent country conditions research of our own to be able to assess the strength of the claim.
And I imagine there's some cost associated with that.
Absolutely. Much of the work that RAICES does, both detained and non-detained, is free of charge, but we do charge a small percentage of our clients. But yeah, I mean, asylum cases, especially detained asylum cases, are very cost heavy.
You're a nonprofit, so you don't charge your clients for these services. But if you weren't a nonprofit and these were just billable hours, how much would it cost?
You know, I'm aware of private attorneys who charge anywhere in the range of $10,000 to $15,000 to $20,000. I also know that we had placed a case with pro bono attorneys to represent these two related families, a total of five people. They estimate it costs them about $200,000.
Does the fact that your organization provides these services and provide them for free potentially contribute to what's encouraging more and more people to come across the border?
I don't think so at all, actually. I think that, you know, folks who are coming across the border are ones who are fleeing for their lives from their home countries for the most part. My understanding is the vast majority of recent arrivals in the past year, past couple of years, have been asylum seekers. You don't decide to leave everything you know and everyone you know and your country and just pick up with your kids and try to make it in a different country, going through a very dangerous and difficult journey. That's not a process that people are going to take lightly.
Manoj Govindaya is Director of Litigation for Raices. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.